You know, you don't think that churches in a school or churches, people setting up week after week. What's that? Great, I'm just hearing voices now. Okay, good. But you know, I don't know, but I think that so many times people think, oh, great, Christians are just these people who want to, you know, kill my fun. They want to make me set up and take down chairs, you know, and that Christianity, God's just one big cosmic killjoy, and I want to just enjoy my life now. But I want to maybe kind of put a little twist to that, okay? Because I think that the life that we live can have even greater joy when it's a life that's given to God's lead, if that makes sense. And so what I really want to talk about today is when you first hear this passage, it's three stories in the Bible. We're going through the Gospel of Luke, and what does it mean to be rooted in Jesus? Okay, what does it mean to have this living relationship with God that affects every area of our lives, not just once a week, where we just kind of give a nod and a tip of the hat and that's it, right? I don't know how many of you tip hats, but that's what we're going to say. And so the passage I want to read to you kind of get to the root of the world in which we live. And so when you hear these three stories, I think the initial response is, wow, this is kind of a buzzkill. But at the same hand, as I look at it, I think it's a joy giver, and that's what I want you to see. So let me just read from Luke chapter 12. I'm just going to read verses 13 through 40. In fact, this is my new thing here. Okay, and now I can read it. Okay, so someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' And then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool,'" this is just a rough story, "'this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God.'" That's story number one. Now, here's where it goes from there. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, could add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service, keep your lamps burning, while men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whom master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him." Now you hear that story, you say, okay, now what is Jesus trying to convey here? Because it seems just this I don't know, the series of stories that just says, well, gee, you know, don't have too much fun because you're going to die, you know, and that's it, right? And I don't think that's what he's saying at all because you know, he says this. He says, let me just tell you something. This guy comes to him and he says, look, my brother's got an inheritance and I want some of it. Jesus, tell him to give it to me. I mean, this is what the guy's concerned about. He's not concerned about necessarily the relationship with his brother. He just wants Jesus to give him his fair share because that's the most important thing to this man. And so Jesus tells you, you know what? Be on your guard. Now, why does he start that? Why does he start with be on your guard? And I think the reason he does that is because it's kind of like saying, you know, you're kind of getting this out of whack. Your quality of life, your value does not consist in the amount of your possessions, right? Because I think that's what we do. You know, if I just had this car, I'd be happy. If I just had this boat, I would be happy. If I just had this job, I'd be happy. If my spouse just looked a little better, I would be happy. And that's where you're getting to dangerous ground, right? And yet, you know, Jesus says, look, you know what? Let me tell you what you should value. And he kind of takes this direct hit on greed. He says, you know, look, there's more to this life than having more. In fact, if anything, more is a major distraction. It's an obstacle to your spiritual growth. He says, look, let's look at this guy. Here's the story of this man, and he's got plenty. He's had a good year. I mean, bumper crops, things are going really well, and he's got more than he can take, more than he can handle. So what does he say? Well, that's okay. I'll just keep it all to myself. He doesn't even think, what if I gave some of this to someone in need? Not even on his agenda. And Jesus is pretty harsh on this. He's, you know, the story says he's called a fool. Now, that's kind of rough coming from God. But you see, here's the thing. He remembered the wrong things. He remembered himself. He forgot the essential things. He forgot his neighbors. He forgot the needs of others. And he really forgot time. He forgot that it could end. I love a story I heard recently of three apprentice devils who were coming from hell to earth to serve their time. And before they left, they told Satan what they had proposed to do on earth. One said, I'll tell them that there is no God. And that won't do, Satan said, because they already know in their hearts that there is. I will tell them, said the second, that there is no hell. That, said Satan, is still more hopeless, for even in life they've experienced the remorse and the regret of hell. The third said, I'll tell them there is no hurry. Go, said Satan, tell them that and you will ruin them by the millions. And I think that's the whole point of this story is, you know, this guy's like, you know, I got plenty of time. I'm just going to take my time and just kind of live off the fat of the land, so to say. Not thinking that when possessions are the goal, people become pawns. And I think this is when we get into false worship. We bow before something that's not worthy of honor, that can't deliver life's true meaning. And see, you hear this story? The man says, my crops, my barn, my grain, my goods, myself. And there's only self-interest. But you see, possessions aren't necessarily bad. I just don't know if they're enough. I just don't know if they're enough. So now you hear that story, and you say, oh man, okay, I'm toast, right? And then wham, we go to story number two. Story number two says, Jesus says, look at this, the flowers of the field, the birds of the air. You know what, I take care of them. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? In other words, you know, okay, well, if getting more things for myself isn't going to do me good, then how do I deal with my legitimate needs? I mean, if you look in your outline, right? Do you all have an outline? Did you know that's do you have an outline? Okay, did you get an outline? You didn't get an outline? Did you get an outline? Okay, that's your wife, so you can, okay, share with her. Okay, here, I'm going to give, no offense. I just, you know, he looks like he needs it more than you, that's all. I was just, you know, okay, so you're fine. Okay. So you know, seriously, what's the difference between greed and the desire for security? It's a good question, right? I mean, because we all want to be secure. And then here we say, according to Jesus, what makes a person a fool? Well, we kind of talked about that. But then what does worrying suggest about our concept of God? You see, Jesus says, look, let me just tell you something. Let me put this in perspective. You got all these things that you're worrying about. But here's the thing I want you to know. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. You know, some of you have heard me talk about this, but recently I got a call from my. I have a retirement plan. Did you know that? I have a retirement plan. Nice. I asked my wife when I could retire. She said never. And so this guy calls me up and he says, we just want to talk to you about your retirement. I said, oh, is that time? And they said, well, no, according to our records, you'll be fine if you retire when you're 67. I said, that's great. I said, so I should retire when I'm 67. That's a great plan. And then he said, and you know, according to our records and seeing all your health, he said, you should live to be about 92. I said, really? That's great. I said, how long will my wife live? He says, well, you know, probably about 94. I said, great. Will she remarry? And they said, we don't know that, sir. And I said, okay, well, I'm just kind of curious. I thought, this is perfect. I got it all mapped out. 67, I retire. 92, I die. That's what I do. I'm done. Okay, that's good to know. Let me plan accordingly. Now, here's the problem. I don't know if that plan's going to work. I really don't. I mean, nobody here knows when we're going to die. So here's the thing. Without sounding too morbid, right? I want to make every moment count. And you know what? I don't know if I've got enough. I mean, that's the big thing. What is the commercial with the financial person? Do you have enough, right? I mean, and people go into a frenzy. I remember I saw that commercial. I just went, I don't know. Now here, God's got a very different perspective. You know what he says? Let me tell you your retirement plan. It's me. Trust me. Trust me. Look, if I can care for the flowers and the field and the birds in there, don't you think I'll care for you even more? And now we see, because we know and trust, and that's a big thing, right, that God will provide for our needs, now all of a sudden it doesn't seem like we need to hoard as much, right? It doesn't seem like we need to hoard as much because there's going to be more, right? And I find that there are certain times I get into this hoarder mentality, like there's not going to be enough. I mean, my wife made cookies for me the other day, and there were some extra. She said, why don't you take these to your staff? And I said, no. Are you crazy? These are good cookies. And she, and of course, in her kind way, she said, you don't need more. And so so I took them to the office, but this is what I did. I came in the office and said, you guys don't want any cookies, do you? And then I sent them over in the side of my office, hoping they wouldn't see them. And they found them, you know. I tried. Did you not find them? No. Because I hit them. But you know, here's the thing. I mean, really? Really? I mean, that's how petty I can get. I can get that petty. And here she says, you know what? What are you worrying about? I'm going to provide. Okay, maybe God's even said you don't need more cookies is what he's really saying. But the thing is that we can be generous with what God provides, because I think so many times we hold on to life so tightly because we're so afraid that there's not going to be enough. And we think that it's all about us. And here's Jesus saying, you know what? It's okay to give. Because not only will I provide for you, but you will be the one who helps provide for others in my name. You know, I can tell you story after story of people in this church. There are a lot of people in this area who don't have a safety net. Do you know what I mean when I say that? They don't have family. They don't have people who take care of them, and they're just one step away from homelessness, right? And I've had people in our church say, you know, I got an extra room. You know what? You can stay with me, and we'll work out the finances, you know, and I'll help you. I've had people who said, you know what? I've had people say, you know, we've got this car we're not using. I know so-and-so doesn't have a car. Would you give that to them and not tell them that I did it? Boy, that's a great day as a pastor, by the way. Hey, I heard you didn't have a car. I got one for you. And you know, but I won't give you my cookies. But, you know, that's another story. So here's the thing. Is that, you know, God provides. God provides. And I think the key in this is verse 32. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. See, we settle for cookies. And God says, you know what? I'm going to give you the whole deal. I'm going to give you the whole deal. I'm going to give you my kingdom. I'm going to provide for your needs. And I think that's why I think of a passage in Philippians that says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Petition means again and again, right? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then it says this, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard. Here's that word guard again. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So here we see that in this story, we see that this man who's just living for all the wrong reasons, he's living for himself, and all of a sudden now life is gone, and everything is gone. Game over. What has he got to show for it? And then God says, look, you know what? Let me tell you how I want you to live your life. It's not just hoarding and accumulating things for yourself. I want you to live a life that's lived in vital trust with me. I want you to live a life in such a way that you know that I will provide for your needs so that you are free to help others in need. And that, he says, that's what makes life worthwhile. That's what makes life worth living. You know, I mean, with Will, when he was talking about just set up and take down. Now, for some of you, you say, well, that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but here's what I want you to see is because Will sets up and others set up and they've just said, I'm going to use my time for that. People are able to come to church and sit in these nice, comfortable chairs. But, you know, okay. But they come and we just assume that all this stuff magically appears, right? And there are guys here. What time do you get here in the morning, Hines? 6 o'clock, really? Is Jesus up at 6? That's just a theological question of my own. But so Will gets here, or Hines and a group of people come here at 6 o'clock just to make sure that when you come to church, it's ready for you. Why would someone do that? Because they want you to come. They want you to come and know that there's a God who cares for you enough, that you are valuable enough, that someone would get up at 6 in the morning just to make sure there's a seat for you and a good place for environment for your kids to play. And you know, at the end of the day, that's not a bad day. You see, God has a whole different perspective. God has a whole different perspective. Real life has to do with relationships. God and others. That's why he says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, right? But store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And what are the two things that last forever? It's God and people. And so life is more than just having, but when we use our lives in service to others in the name of Jesus, then we are making a difference that affects people for all eternity. Someone had this to say, placing concern for our daily needs in God's hands is part of what it means to have a relationship with God. Isn't that why the Lord's Prayer, part of it is, give us this day our daily bread? I mean, we still work hard, but worrying does no good. And that's the question in your bulletin. What does worrying suggest about your concept of God? You see, security comes from our relationship with God. That's why he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff, all these things will be added unto you. In other words, God said, look, seek after me, and I will take care of the rest. Major what God desires, because he is committed to our care. Now, here's the thing I want you to see, and I think it's so important here, because I want you to see here this morning that what God is saying in this story is this. I care for you. I care for you. You have great value to me. I care for you. And if you hear nothing else this morning, to know that the God of the universe cares so much for you that he goes out of his way to say, look, there, I want you to come to this place and see these people who care for you. I want you to know that as you look outside and you see the grass and you see the flowers and you see the abundance of rain right now, right? And you see all these things. No, that's from my hand because I care for you. And I will not leave you. And I will not forsake you. And so now we see this whole basic approach to life. We're following Jesus. It is really a different way of living. It's life from a different perspective. And then he closes with a third story. And so then he says this. He says, you know what? Because of this, instead of looking at life as, you know, like Finding Nemo, the seagulls, mine, 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 mine. You know, instead of thinking that's what life is all about, right? That you are called to be a steward. That's where the story really ends, doesn't it? He gives us examples. He shows us the man of greed. He stores up everything just for himself, and he dies. And then he says, look at the lilies of the field. They're taken care of, and I'm going to take care of you. Trust me because I care for you. And he says, let me just tell you how I want you to live your life. I want you to live like a steward. Now let me just tell you that what that means is that in the master's absence, we're to live a life of preparedness, readiness, and faithfulness. In Jesus' time, a steward was actually a slave who was left in charge of domestic affairs when the master was away. And so that steward cared for the welfares of the other servants' welfares. A steward's job was to serve, not to exercise power. So Jesus is saying, look, I want you to be a steward. You know what? Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, and while I'm gone, I'm going to entrust some things to your care, and I want you to use those wisely. I want you to be good stewards that are looking out for the welfare of others. Now, this is not just about now that I'm gone, take everything for yourself. This is about looking and caring for others' needs. And it's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different way of living that Jesus says that when I am in your life, you don't have to worry whether there's going to be enough. You don't have to worry whether I'm going to provide for your needs. I want you to know is that I am here to care for you, and so I want you to care for others as a representative of me. I want you to do life in my name. So, you know, last weekend, right, my wife had an opportunity to go to a shower for a family member in Southern California. And so she was really hesitant to go. And I said, you know what? Go, relax, have fun. You know, she's going to spend the weekend with our daughter. I have everything covered, right? Famous last words, right? It was like, you know, Custer, right? I got it covered, right? And so I said, look, you know, don't worry. I'm going to take care of everything. And so, you know what? I thought, okay, I'm in charge now. I'm in charge while my wife is away, and everything better be standing when she returns, okay? And so I thought, okay, what's my first job? So let's take care of the basic needs. I've got to feed the dog. I got to feed the cat. I got to feed the mother-in-law. I got to, you know, that's important too, right? I don't want to forget that, you know? And then, you know, I thought, okay, I got the basic. And then, you know, I knew she was coming because she was coming back on a flight. I think, hey, I've got to make sure everything's in order. Have you ever done that, guys? No, you'll never admit to it. And so I thought, okay, flight comes in 2 hours. Okay, so I got 2 hours, and so I just looked around the house, and, you know, WWPD, what would Patty do, okay? And so I started doing things I don't even ever think of. I do things that I think are so unnecessary, like making the bed, right? And so I thought, you know, I better make the bed because Patty's coming back, right? And she thinks that's a good thing to make the bed. And then I thought, you know what, and I better clean the toilets. And so it's not a matter of cleaning. It's just a matter of making sure the water's blue when she comes home. And so, you know, so I did that. I got that all in order. And then I thought, you know what? And what else would she do that I never think of? Vacuum. I hear they vacuum here. And so I'm vacuuming. I think, man, I'm just in time. And she said, how'd it go? I said, piece of cake. And I mean, I was in a frenzy. Now, here's the thing. What if her flight had, by the way, my wife doesn't just sit there and do the white glove test when she gets home. She's pretty relaxed just because she's here now and I've got to talk to her afterwards. And the thing is, but what if she'd come home early? I mean, whatever flight had come in and she just Ubered it home and said, I just want to be home, and she comes in, what is this mess? I don't know, because the house was really looking good. And now, you're debating that, aren't you? But see, here's the thing. Jesus says, I want you to be in a state of readiness all the time, not just this last minute thing. Right? You ever see the bumper sticker, Jesus is coming, everybody look busy? I mean, I don't think that's the way Jesus meant for it to be. And I think it's so fascinating that he kind of closes the section with these words. He says, look, you must also be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And he starts by saying, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. And so this is what Jesus is saying. You know what? He's saying, I'm coming back. And you don't know how much time you have. So live your life in a state of readiness. Live your life as if I'm coming right now. And so you see the last question in your bulletin, you say, man, that's kind of a cheap question, right? That's kind of a dirty trick. Because the last question is, if you believe that Jesus would physically return next week, how would that affect your agenda for the next few days? How would that affect things? Now, you say, well, that's not a fair question. I think it's an entirely fair question. Because I think that so often what Jesus is saying is that we just take so much for granted. We don't see ourselves as stewards of what God has given us in abundance. You know, I drove down these last three, Thursday afternoon, I went down to drive with my dad because he's now, you know, my dad's had a stroke and he's gone through rehab and now he's not well enough to go home. And so I went there because I knew that he needed a little support along with my sisters and my mom to transition to this convalescent care, which none of us ever really wanted. And he said something to me. He just said, you know, just he said, I never thought this would end like this. Now, it's not over yet. But my mom said, you know, I just always thought he would come back home. And, you know, I just started thinking of that, you know, that one day you're in home, and the next day you don't know if you're ever going to come back to your home. One day you're here, the next day you're gone. And I don't sit around. I don't want to be morbid here, but at the same time, I think, you know what? I want to make sure that every day before I leave, that the last thing I say to my wife is I love her. That every day at the end of the day, I want to say that I did something that made a difference for the kingdom of God because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I want my life to matter and be more than just about me. Now, it doesn't mean we can't enjoy life. That doesn't mean that we can't have fun. I mean, you know, it's not you go to a movie and say, oh, this money could have been used for the poor. I'm not saying that, okay? But what I am saying is that when I look at this, it puts life in a sobering perspective when I see that life is about relationships and life is about relationships that last for eternity. And I want to be a part of what God is doing so that when I get to the end of my life, when I hang up my sneakers at the end, that I can say, you know what? I lived my life for something that mattered. I lived my life to make a difference for others so that they might know Jesus and be safe in his care. I think about my dad. My dad knows Jesus. I think about my mom. My mom knows Jesus. And one of my greatest joys is going down and just being there to be an encouragement to my father and my mom and with my sisters and walk through some tough things knowing that everything is in Jesus' care and we can trust him to see us through. And I think that's why we come to this place. Because we want to be a part of something that makes a difference for eternity. And to know that there is a God who cares for us and will provide for us even when times are hard, and they will be hard. And so today we're ending with communion. And I just find that so fascinating that this was the Sunday that we chose to end with communion because you know, you hear this message and think, okay, well, great. You know, I have to do all these things and give all this to God. Well, what's God given to me? Well, he gave his very life. Okay, well, that puts an end on it. You see, we take communion because Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross. He wasn't forced to. He willingly gave his life on the cross to take the punishment for the things we've done wrong. And so when we take communion, Will said it really well earlier. He said, he quoted Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To serve and to give. You see, to be a Christian, Jesus says that greater love has no man than this, than to give his life for a friend. And to be a Christian is to be a friend of God. Because Jesus has given his life for you. And now what he asks in return is your friendship. He calls you friend. The question is, will you respond? Will you accept? Will you see your life as being more than just living and collecting stuff and dying? Or will you see that God has a purpose for your life, and in living your life for Him, you will be the hands and feet of Jesus so others might be able to trust in Him and have that security and peace and confidence of life in His name? This is the life that Jesus invites us to. So I just want to pray for you. I'm going to ask our leaders to come up for communion. And here's the thing. If you say, well, I've never taken communion before, can I do that? And here's what Jesus says. You know what? I invite you to my table. And what he says is, accept what I've done for you. You are welcome. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've never said yes to Jesus, but you say, this is what I want, then I want to invite you to take communion, even if you've never taken it before. And for those of you who know what it is to live life in his name, I think this is just a reminder of just how much God loves and cares for you. And so let me just start with this. Thanks, Felipe.